Well, we are talking about The Pursuit. It's a series that we're doing as we're looking 40 days till Easter and appreciating God's pursuit for us. I think if we can keep that focused in our minds and we can continue to remember that all that happens in our life and all that is taking place is God's increasing desire to bring us into a relationship with Him. I think that probably it stood out in our minds so much when we did the story and we worked through all the way through the Old Testament to the New Testament. One thing we kept bringing back to us, it kept coming back to us, was God's pursuit of us and how He continued to reach out to us and draw us to Himself. That's the message that God is doing. It's unrelenting. He's not giving up. He continues to draw us and search for us. This morning, I'm going to share with you the gospel. At the close of my message, I'm going to share with you, if you do not have a relationship with Christ and a personal knowledge that you know that should you die, you'll go to heaven, you can be able to know that for sure. And so I'm going to share that with you at the close of my message because it's a great opportunity for you to say yes. And at that point, I would encourage you, there's a card that's I Choose Jesus in the back of the seats. And Pastor Dan will be over here at the table and you can pick up a New Believer's Bible that will help you to grow in your faith and know more about that walk and relationship with Him. We're talking today, last week we talked about He served, and today we're talking about He readied, or facing the future. I just think it's incredible how God's Spirit works in preparing us ahead of time for whatever is coming into our lives. I had no idea in preparing this sermon series that yesterday I would be sharing the gospel, kind of almost part one to what I'm sharing today, part two. But God knew that. God already knew ahead. He'd already looked ahead. He already planned. I'm just grateful for all of you who pray for me as your pastor, who pray that God will give me wisdom and a sense of His Spirit's direction, because as that fits together, I know, I stand back and look at it and say, wow, I could never have done that. That had to be God. And so I just want to give God praise for His faithfulness and His work in our lives. And so today I'm talking about the fact that the pursuit, His unrelenting plan to save us, and what that means in that He readied facing the future. Facing the future. All of these sermons are really the last week that Jesus was here on earth. This particular one from John 14 and 15. I hope you're reading through all of those passages. I'm kind of giving to you ahead of time just to so you can prepare. And that's how you're going to get the maximum out of God's word. So you'll already have some thoughts before I share what God has given me in thoughts. And that'll continue to be strengthened and supported as you are doing your work as well. And so we're looking at facing the future and what that means. Jesus said this, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning. We want to hear your voice. In Christ's name, amen. As we look, Jesus gave those words, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. This actually picture came from Brent had done that. That's at Montour Preserve. But it just looks so much like those would be the words that could be stated here because he was leaving here and going to prepare a place for each one of us. As we think about that, there are a number of questions that may come to your mind. And I thought about those questions as well. And so I don't know that I can answer them all, but at least I can give you something more to think about in regard to those. So what does my future look like? What does my future look like? Aren't we all kind of curious as to what's going to happen in our future? That's why, you know, gypsies who tell the future and can kind of look at those people are saying, should I consult that? No, you really shouldn't. You need to kind of make sure your future is in God's hands, no one else's. And that's why there's a danger that is present. Some people, you know, would even wonder, should I consult a medium or something of that nature? And the answer is no, we really should not. Because because God's word is all that we're going to need to know about this life and our future. And so we need to make sure that we're aware of that. Well, there are several things. Here's what the message says, and I love the rendering of this, John 14, because I think it's so great. It says, don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. There's plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live. Couldn't get any more clearer. As we think about that, I just think there's some great thoughts to be thinking in this regard. Jesus was telling his disciples, now think about the context. He's telling his disciples, I'm going to be gone from this place. I'm not going to be here much longer. Now, when you find out that I have died, or they've arrested me and they're taking me away, you're going to be very confused. This is not what you're expecting to happen. I already know what's in your minds. I know what you're thinking. You somehow get this idea that I'm going to set up this earthly kingdom, and you're going to be part of that. And you're thinking, I'm kind of in it for the fishes and the loaves, or the cookies and the bread, milk. But he's saying, no, it's more than that. So when all of this happens, you're going to be totally unsettled. You're going to be like, whoa, that's not what we planned for. That's not what I was in for. I was in for something very different. He said, but don't let that throw you. You trust God, don't you? Well, then trust me. Whatever's going to come, I have this. There is plenty of room for you in my Father's home. So there's room for all of us and more. He said, if that weren't so, like, I would have told you guys ahead of time. You'd already know this. I'm on my way, and I'll get a room ready for you. If I'm on my way to get a room, then you know I'm going to come back and get you. Why would I fix a room for you if I didn't expect you to come? And I wasn't making it possible. I'll come back so you can live where I live. Well, let me say this. Whatever is in your future, whatever is ahead, Jesus has got this. He's getting things ready. He's got this. Could you just say with me, he's got this? Oh, you're really good this early in the morning? Yes. He's got this. Now, I want to tell you how great that is to hear. I want to tell you that no matter what's ahead in my future, no matter what's before me, he's got this. He's got this. I'm not groping around in the dark. I'm not trying to figure out what's going to happen, what I'm going to do. He's got this. That is good news, folks. That is good news. So as we look at this, it says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. So he's got it. The fact is, Jesus wants to be trusted. He wants to be trusted. No matter what comes into your life, he says, trust me. How do I keep myself from being troubled with all that's happening in my world? Trust God. Trust Jesus, because he's got this. I can't let my mind go to all those places that it would go. How about it? I mean, like, our minds like can go all over the place and distress and worry us. And before we know it, like, it's like, what am I going to do? And what about this? And suppose that happens. What about that? And pretty soon our minds are just overwhelmed. And the only good news in all of this is if I can come back and focus and say, he's got this. He's got this. You know, when you're tempted to worry this week or this afternoon or today or right now, just say, Jesus, I know you've got this. I know you've got this. And you keep saying that because you're going to need to make sure you have a source to trust. Trust in God, trust also in me. That's how I'm going to do. I'm going to say, Jesus, you've got this. You've got this. Jesus has provided a friend who will always be with you. He will always be with you. The good news, he was telling his disciples this. He said, I know you guys are going to be really overwhelmed by what's going to happen. I mean, when you see all this take place, you're not going to know what to think. And your minds are going to be cluttered with all kinds of thoughts. But just trust me. Trust me. I've got this. Trust me. I can do this. In fact, not only that, but I'm going to send you somebody who's going to be with you. I'm going to send a friend that you'll always have. You see, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he will provide you another friend, so that you will always have someone with you. You will always have someone with you. The friend is the Spirit of truth. This is the Holy Spirit. This is your friend who will always be with you. And so whenever you're facing whatever is crashing in on your life and whatever would be tempted to be thinking about, Jesus, you've got this. Thank you for the friend that you have sent with me. The fact is, what Jesus is going is giving us peace no matter what we face. He's given us peace no matter what we face. That peace is a choice. It's a choice. You're going to choose whether you're going to allow his peace to be present in your life, or you're going to choose to think about all the things that would stress you and worry you and pull you down. That's a choice. Now, you're going to think one way or the other. I mean, like it or not, we're all thinking. So it doesn't seem like we are, but we are. So in fact, it feels like somebody's not thinking at all, but they are. They're just thinking on the wrong things. So you're choosing to think. You can't stop that. Your brain's just going to do that. But here's what you can do. You can either choose to think about the things that are going to stress you, or you're going to choose to accept his peace and let that be the governor in your life, and then let that be the friend that is with you, and let that be the trust that you have in God. It's a choice. You can choose. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. Peace. That's his parting gift. He said, look, I'm giving it to you. Like, do you want it or not? Like, you choose. You choose. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset and don't be distraught. I'm leaving this for you. It's a gift. Do you want the gift? Then take it. Because it's already been offered and it's been paid for. Here it is. The fact is that peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. So what if the future isn't what I planned? How many of us have our own little planned agenda for what we think our future should be? And we're all prepared for this. And when it doesn't work out the way we thought it would or as we expected or what we wanted, then we become angry and resentful. Because why did God do this? Why would he do this in my life? Why would that happen? The fact is, Jesus has got this. He's getting things ready. He's got this. Would you say it with me? He's got this. If it's not happening the way you thought it should, if it's not happening the way you planned, it's not working the way that it's supposed to be in your mind, what do you need to say? Jesus, you've got this. Because I know he has a plan, and his plan, trust me, is far better than yours. You think yours is the one that he's supposed to follow, but he's got a far better one. If I couldn't serve a God who had a better plan than mine, his mind wouldn't be any bigger than mine, and that would be a pitiful thing. We know he's got this. It's bigger than ours. His plan's better. I know his timing is better. Everything about it is better because he is perfect in all he does. The fact is, don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me. Don't let this throw you. Whatever it is, it's not what you planned. I know that. It's not happening the way you thought. I know that. But trust God because he's got this. The fact is, trust in his plan. Not yours. See, we have our own thoughts. We know how we think it should go, and it doesn't. Trust his plan. It's better than yours. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. He's got a plan. We look short-sighted. He looks long-term. He knows what's best for the future. I can't even begin to understand. I can't put my plans and say they're going to be his plans. I have to say, I give up on mine. I give up on mine. Mine just aren't enough to work for future. Mine were so short term. I wanted this just right now. You knew what was best for long term. And so you've got this. I have to trust you. Trust in his care. He loved his disciples so much. He spent time with them, teaching, leading, guiding, speaking to their hearts and helping them, crying with them, mentoring them, trying to do everything possible. His care was there. But they were confused because their plans didn't work like his plans. And they thought he didn't care. The fact is, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You're not going to be abandoned. Do you sometimes feel alone? Do you feel like you're the only one facing this? Do you feel like you're the only one going through this? You're not alone. He's not leaving you as orphans. He said, I am your friend. I'm sending you a friend. He will be with you, and you can be able to know that. So trust his provision. He's provided for you. He's provided all that you need at the time that you need it. Not ahead of time, but right at the time you need it. And that's why he didn't give you enough grace for tomorrow's problems. He gave you enough grace for today. And so today is what he's given you grace for. But you say, but what about tomorrow? No, see, that's your plan. You need to trust his plan for today. You can't work out tomorrow. Oh, I know, we have our planners and we have all that we'd like to have. We have all the things that we think should take place. But you've got to trust his plan. I'm not saying you shouldn't plan. I'm not saying you shouldn't look ahead. I'm not saying that you shouldn't work on whatever you need to. Of course we do. But ultimately, if God changes the plan, you got to be at peace with it. You got to trust him because he has a greater plan. He said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. So that help, that provision is coming from God. He's got this. He's going to work through it. So what do I do while I wait? What do I wait? I mean, you know, what is my future? What if it doesn't go like I planned? Well, what now? What do I do while I wait? Because we're trying to figure out, like, I mean, I got to do something. Like, surely I can't just sit here. I can't just go up to the mountain and sit and wait. I've got to do something. Well, he said, yeah, you got to do things. But here's what you do. Jesus has got this. He's getting things ready. Okay. Some of you are looking down. I'll give you another chance. Jesus has got this. He's getting things ready. You're right. He's got this. And so the fact is that we need to make sure we're aware that he's got a plan. He's got work for you to do right now. And he wants to work through you. And so don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Well, trust me. Trust God. Trust Jesus. Remain in Jesus. That's the first thing that we need to do. Now, that sounds like sitting still, doesn't it? When I say remain here, it feels like I'm not supposed to do anything. That's not true. This remain means I'm going to keep doing what I need to do to keep focused in Jesus. So, that's hard. You think it's like, just sit still. And if some who have like a little bit of ADD and it's like, I can't just sit still, I need to do something. And I struggle with that sit still thing. I even don't pray real well sitting still. I pray best by moving. So if I can walk around, you know, I can keep my focus and my prayer better than if I'm just sitting still. Sitting still, my brain wanders. And I have greater difficulty. So everybody has to figure out what works for you. It works differently for all of us. And some of you, you know, that's perfect. But to remain in Jesus is not a stationary project. It's the importance of understanding that I've got to do whatever I need to do to remain connected to the vine. John 15 says, he is the vine, we are the branches. And so he talks all through John 15 telling us that I've got to remain in him. What's the natural tendency? To fall away, to pull back, to not do. See, it's work to remain in him. Because the enemy is constantly pulling us off track. He's constantly pulling our mind off track. He's constantly putting it on other things, on worries, on stress, on problems, on whatever is a part that's coming into our lives. And I have to say, no, 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 I'm going to remain in Jesus. I'm going to keep my thoughts and my focus where it needs to be. And so remain in me as I also remain in you. So if I want Jesus to remain in me, I have to do something, not just sit still, but remain in him. So I take the extra efforts that are necessary to see that happen. The message says, live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can bear grapes by cannot bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. So the first ticket to bearing fruit is going to be remain in him. Then I can bear fruit. There's no fruit going to come in your life. None. How much fruit can come in your life without being in Christ? None. None. You've got to remember that. You don't have what it takes to make fruit for Jesus. You don't. I don't care how good you are, how educated, how smart, how rich, how anything. You don't have what it takes to bear fruit for Jesus unless you remain in him. And that's what's necessary. So if you're going to see something happen in your life and through your life, you better make a conscious effort to remain in him. That's how it's going to happen. And so I tell you what, this life is too short. We have too little time on this to waste by not remaining in him. I want to take as many people to heaven with me as possible. And so I'm going to do whatever I need to do to remain in him, that I can bear fruit that'll last for a lifetime and for eternity. And so by doing so, I'm going to see the difference. So I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear, yes, much fruit. Not just a little, much. So God's going to do great things. He even says in this passage, greater than I have done. Wow. You really? Come on, Jesus. Really? Greater than? No. That's not, no. He says it. Read it. Read in John 15 and you see that he says, and greater things that I'm doing, you can do. And you go, how is that possible? Because you have Jesus in you and he's going to make it happen through you. That means you need to remain connected so much fruit can be seen. You will see things that you just never believed could ever happen to you. Things that, no. I shared yesterday in the message, as I was sharing with the family, part of all of this journey that's been a part of mine is Jacob's grandfather was a fraternity brother of mine in college. Pretty amazing. I don't really want to tell you a whole lot of stories about my fraternity in college. That was BC, before Christ, trust me. And so our fraternity didn't go around doing good things for other people. It wasn't that kind of a service fraternity. It was a party fraternity. That was our world. That was our life. And shortly after college, I gave my heart to Christ, and God changed my life. I never believed I would be sharing with, you know, over 1,000 people every week about the hope they have in Christ. Never could have imagined that. Could never have been able to see Meadowbrook starting and all that God has been able to work in the past 30-some years. But God has done it. God has done it. It's far bigger than I could ever imagine. And then yesterday, my fraternity brother gave his heart to Christ as well. And I think, wow, Wow, God works in incredible ways. But I want to tell you, it's only because we remain in him. No credit to us. We couldn't do it. We couldn't be smart enough. We couldn't do it on our own. We couldn't have enough education. We couldn't have enough money. We couldn't have enough power. We couldn't make it happen on our own. But God can do great things through your life. If you're willing to remain in him and allow him to work, wow, great things. I just feel there are too many in our world who don't know Jesus. Do you know only 35% of the population in our area is churched? The rest is unchurched. Now, I know many, there may be many out there who are Christians who have been so deeply hurt by churches, they've chosen not to be a part of churches. But see, you can be an example. You can be a testimony of the difference that Jesus can make when people remain in him. When you're joined with me and I with you, the harvest is sure to be abundant. When you're joined with me and I with you, the harvest is sure to be abundant, bigger than you could have ever imagined. That's the good news. So tell others. That's what we do. We tell others. You share with those in your workplace. You share when God opens the door with your family. You share whenever it's a place that you can be able to do that in your community or whatever. Now, I always say, I really feel you probably share the most with the people you know the least. This is just a rule of thumb. You share the most with the people you know the least. You share the least with the people you know the most. It's just the way it works. Because they're most likely to hear from someone else than to hear from you. You live it out in front of those that you see the most. You tell others who you see the least. It's just the way it works. It's just kind of a rule of thumb that can help you. And you also must testify, and that's tell others. You share what God's doing. When the friend I plan to send you from the Father comes, the Spirit of truth issuing from the Father, he'll confirm everything about you, me. You too, from your side, must give your confirming evidence since you are in this from the start, with me from the start. So you too, from your side, must give your confirming evidence. That's telling others. That's sharing what's happening. I share with you how God has changed my life because I surrendered my life to Christ and he transformed my life. That's what you need to be sharing with others. That's what they want to see. That's what they want to know. So remember, he chose you for this job. Wow. He chose you for this job. Don't ever say God didn't choose you. He did. That's what he says in his word. He chose you for this job. And so he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So don't doubt. You think God's not got a big plan, but he does. You think that things aren't the way you thought they should be, but they are. You think, I'm not sure I'm understanding what's going on, but God does. Because he chose you right where you are to give confirming evidence of what God is doing in your life to those that are in your world. So you didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. He put us right where we need to be. He put you right. God has you right where you're supposed to be. He has you doing what you're supposed to be doing, living among who you're supposed to be living, sharing with who you're supposed to be sharing. The fact is, how do you trust when there are so many unanswered questions in my mind? You're never going to have all the answers to the questions. Just trust me, you're not going to. And if you did, you'd have more questions. So if you're waiting until God answers every question in your mind to surrender your life to Christ, it ain't gonna happen. Because it's not gonna be there. You're always, all of us live with unanswered questions. And I have to trust God until my heart will understand what he has. I just have to trust God. And it's not blind trust. It's not like brainless trust. It's a faith-filled trust that's saying, I know who created everything that's around me. And if he's big enough to make this creation, he's big enough to handle my questions and big enough to have the answers, even if he doesn't want to tell me what those are yet. Jesus has got this. He's getting things ready. It's exactly right. He's got this. So don't let this throw you. You trust in God, don't you? All right, trust Jesus. The fact is, Jesus planned what we all would produce fruit, that we'd all produce fruit, giving each of us purpose. That's what it is. We're going to have purpose, and your purpose is to produce fruit. Now, you say, how can I do that? I mean, I don't even know what that looks like. I don't even know what that means. How do I do that? Well, just remain in Jesus, and you'll see the fruit happen. That's just the way it is. All you do is remain. That's your job. And let the fruit happen. You remain. Trust him with the results. You remain. You just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing to remain, and you'll see that difference happen. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even, wow, there it is, greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. So he trusts us. Not only did he choose us, he trusts us with the plan. Wow. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I am on my way to the Father. I'm giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. Wow, you can count on it. Jesus planned for us to have peace while we wait. Okay. You know what? If you really say, Jesus, you've got this, and you really believe that, you'll have peace. You'll have peace. Because you're choosing not to think about the stress and you're choosing to trust him. You've heard me tell you, I'm going away and I'm coming back. If you loved me, you'd be glad that I'm on my way to the Father, because the Father is the goal and purpose of my life. I want to say that needs to be our line. Jesus needs to be the goal and purpose of our life. That's what, I just have to trust him. I have to trust him because he's got this. Whatever it is. You see, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. It's my peace. I mean, Jesus has given us his peace. And so he's saying, here, this is what I live by. I want to give it to you so you can live by it. The fact is, you're going to choose whether you're going to have peace or choose whether you're going to have stress. You choose, because it's what you're thinking about. And so whatever you're thinking about is going to be guiding you. Jesus planned only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. Amidst our world that says there are many ways, many pathways to heaven, Jesus said, no, I'm sorry, there's only one way. You think that's narrow and bigoted? Well, I'll tell you what, every other religion has one way also. So, I mean, you just have to face reality, and if we believe in Jesus, we believe that he's the only way. That's the way it is. And that's the method that he said, because he said, Jesus said, I am the road, also the truth, also the life. So he's the way, the road. That's how you're going to get there. The truth, he speaks it, he is it, and life. And you're going to have that when you trust him. No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've seen him, because Jesus is God. Jesus is the Father. We see that as he talks. Jesus planned for only one way to trust our future amidst the struggles in this life. Jesus. That's the only way. Because he's got this. He's got this. The fact is, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the pathway that we can be able to find. I want to give you that opportunity this morning, as I shared earlier. If you've not, do not know him as your personal savior, you're not absolutely confident that he's living in your heart, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Let's bow together. Dear Lord Jesus, pray it in your heart. I know I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a savior. I want to give my life to you because you know the plan for my life. You know the plan for my future. I want to be yours. Forgive me for my sin. Help me to live the new life you've called me to live. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask that you would help each one that has prayed that prayer. Simple prayer, simple act of faith, but we're saying, you've got this, and we trust you with it. So Father, we ask that you would help each one who's made that decision today. Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer this morning and that you gave your heart to Christ for the first time, would you just put your hand up and down and just let me know? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for those who have surrendered to you. Thank you for the new life. You've got them and you want them to walk in it. In Christ's name, amen. Just remember, He's got this. God bless you. Thank you.